Today is the Feast of the Nativity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The epistle for this third Mass for Christmas is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, last of all, in these days, has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the image of his substance, and the upholding all things by the word of his power, has effected man's purgation from sin, and taken his seat at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much superior to the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels has he ever said, Thou art my Son, I this day have begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, And let all the angels of God adore him. And of the angels, indeed, he says, He makes his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and a scepter of equity is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved justice and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou in the beginning, O God, didst found the earth, and the heavens are works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt continue, and they shall all grow old as does a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was made nothing that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness grasped it not. There was a man once sent from God, whose name was John. This man came as a witness to bear witness concerning the light, that all might believe through him. He was not himself the light, but was to bear witness to the light. It was the true light that enlightens every man who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, he gave the power of becoming sons of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we have the privilege of offering this third Mass of Christmas for all of you here and all those faithful around the country and maybe in parts of the world who are watching online, to give glory to the Holy Trinity, proper worship to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. By having this High Mass on the Feast of the Nativity of our Savior, it is a privilege, it is a gift for us to be here. For the priest to offer this Mass that is attacked and hated and being snuffed out all over the world is a privilege for all of you to freely come on this beautiful morning to honor our Savior. As you know, there is a most overriding dogma of the faith on this day. It's called the Redemptive Incarnation. The fact that God became man, became one of us, lived with us, instructed us, loved us to the end, suffered and died for us, so that he may redeem us on the Holy Cross 2,000 years ago. And he did this great work of the universe that he created for his poor creatures who are sinful and indifferent and often reject him and hate him, but he still did it out of the great love for us. That is infinite. Think of it. God the Son was sent by God the Father through the power of God the Holy Spirit on earth to be born in his most perfect creation, the Blessed Virgin Mary, full of grace. So that he could be born among his people. And as is portrayed in this beautiful nativity scene, helpless as an infant, babies need to be cared for by their mother, by their father, and by others. But there's an attraction. That's the human way. And God accommodated himself when he became a man. He could have appeared as a majestic king on earth, crush his enemies, invite his friends, and all go to heaven. But he didn't do it that way. He did it this way, the historical, the real way. His enemies, Lucifer, all the evil spirits that rebelled against God, all the Satanists and those who hate our Lord on earth, try to say Jesus didn't exist, that Christmas is a pagan day, so why Christmas is on December 25th, I just saw that. They've been saying that for 2,000 years. The same lies they keep regurgitating, and we throw it right back in their faces. I don't even read it anymore. Why spend time reading about the attacks on Christ when you can read the Gospel or the Propers of the Mass or the Lives of the Saints? But notice what we have in this beautiful epistle, which is the epistle of St. Paul to the Hebrews. The Protestants and the modernists don't believe that. The most beautiful of all epistles, the most mystical, the one for the chosen people. And they say, no, it wasn't. We don't even know who the author is. So it was to the Hebrews. And he gave this beautiful, very spiritual message to his people at the very beginning. How God spoke to his people through prophets, and about the creation of the angels and men, sort of a synopsis of Genesis and the story of creation. But at a particular time, he decided to send not just an angel, but his very son. And God the Father, as this is the whole God, these are the words of God, the Word of God. But of the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and a scepter of equity is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved justice and hated iniquity. He's telling us, God through St. Paul is telling us how we must love justice, love what is good, love the law of God. And hate, as he does, iniquity, evil, sin. You don't condone sin. You don't change the laws. You don't bless what is evil. And in this beautiful Gospel of St. John, and it is the last Gospel that is said at every Mass. So at this Mass, there's no last Gospel because it is the Gospel of the Mass. Also very mystical. It's at the beginning of St. John's Gospel. Again, another summary of creation and how God in a moment, because he created time, he decided after his creation to send a messenger, St. John the Baptist, to be a witness concerning the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. And it says that all might believe through him. Remember to pray to St. John the Baptist. He's one of the greatest saints, considered after the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph, the greatest of all saints, even though his public life was less than a year. He was so holy and so powerful in his preaching that multitudes converted from their sins and openly confessed their sins. And he did that to prepare for the Savior. In fact, people thought St. John the Baptist was the Savior because of his holiness and how he spoke the truth and how he attacked the evil. He was not himself the light, but was to bear witness to the light. It was the true light that enlightens every man who comes into the world. It's very important. We read the words, we hear the words every time we assist at Mass. But this light, this grace, this Son of God, every man, every person who comes into the world is given the light, the opportunity to go to heaven. He made the world, but the world doesn't know him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own, the Hebrew people, and his own received him not. Most of his own people did not accept him. But as you've heard many times, that's why we're spending the time to explain it. But, or however, to as many as received him, which is all of us, he gave the power to become sons of God, to those who believe in his name. If you recall, one of the masses just this last week in the Gospel of St. Matthew, it mentions in strict order the way it was written by St. Matthew, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Good, devout Catholics will say those holy names frequently and lovingly with devotion to honor those greatest of personages, to protect themselves from evil. It's right in the very Bible, and the Protestants will refuse to say the holy names of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, even though it's right in the Scripture. This feast is not the greatest of all the feasts of the liturgical year. Easter is. If you were here last night and you've heard our Father Superior saying that Easter is the feast of life, because God, by his resurrection, rose from the dead, conquered death, became alive again for all eternity to bring us to heaven so that we can rise from the dead to glory. Christmas, as he mentions, is a feast of light, because our Lord is the light of the world. The light conquers the darkness. So God uses his creation, all the primary parts of creation, light, water, many other things, physical things to convey spiritual things. Those are the sacraments. But even though Christmas is second to Easter, in terms of its influence in the world and culturally, there's no greater feast than the Nativity of Jesus Christ, this very day. That's why the church has three masses. Three masses. A priest is permitted to offer the three masses if he's able to. God deserves it, so we'll go not just the extra mile, but 100 miles. We'll do the best we can. God deserves it. The Blessed Mother deserves it. Now, across the world, this very day, in Bethlehem, because of the conflict, the war there, in that region, no mass at the very place where our Lord was born, in Bethlehem, the Church of the Nativity. The bishop announced there'll be no masses, no services, everyone stay at home. Could that happen in our country? It's happened in France, in England, in Mexico in the last few centuries. It happened just a few years ago where we were being told we can't offer the Mass here. They'll have to drag us from the altar to stop us from offering these Masses. And you know what happened to churches, Catholic and even non-Catholic? When things opened up, many churches lost 10, 20, 50, 80% of their congregation. I don't see the need to go anymore, they would say, because I can just watch it on my phone. It's easier. Anything to destroy the practice of going to church on Sundays and holy days. That's the devil. That's the plan. To corrupt, little by little, the human population, to turn them away from God. Turn them to self, to the world, to the devil. So it's a battle. But the victory is already won. The victory of the Son of God on the cross. He had a mission 2,000 years ago to be born of the Virgin Mary, to grow up for 30 years in such an ordinary manner that his very relatives did not know that he was the Son of God. And then to preach and perform miracles for 3 years. And remember, it's very important, what he taught the apostles from the first day that he called the first apostle, St. Andrew, to the death of St. John the Apostle. That is the deposit of faith. No more, no less. No changes, no deletions, in these days, we don't interpret it that way. Or this doesn't apply now. It's rubbish. We obey God. We obey God the Father as our Lord and Savior did. We obey Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. We obey the Holy Spirit. And I repeat what I said in a sermon recently. Do not ever let anybody invoke the Holy Spirit to condone sin and immorality. That is blasphemy. Those people will go to hell unless they repent. That is a horrific scandal. Do you hear anyone talking about that? But because it is such a glorious and joyful day with all the symbolism in our culture, the Christmas tree represents the cross of Jesus Christ. But it's decorated, not a bare cross, but it's decorated because it's a cross of victory, of exaltation. And the exchange of gifts. Why do we do that? Because God gave himself as a gift to mankind. And his Gentile leaders, the Magi, they were inspired by God. They weren't Hebrews. They weren't Jewish. But the Old Testament, all the prophets, that message from God of the Old Testament was spread all over the known world, and these men were sincere. And that's why they went on a quest, inspired by God, to follow the star, which was a miraculous star, not a convergence of planets. I've heard that. It's a miraculous star, and that's where we get the expression, to follow your star. And it led them to Jesus Christ, so they could offer gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's why we exchange gifts, to imitate them. There are musicologists that say there is no more beautiful music, or among the great, most beautiful music of Christmas carols, especially the last 2 to 3 centuries. European, English, and American especially. Catholics, non-Catholics. Write this beautiful music because they want to, in their culture, in a popular way, to show how much they are impressed by Jesus coming as an infant into the world. And the whole story of what's called the infancy or nativity narrative of the Gospels. Now last night, we did not have our solemn Mass. We did not have the high Mass. We had a low Mass by our Father Superior. More contemplative. Even though the solemn Mass is the objectively the more perfect. In that context last night, that was the beautiful thing, and that was the perfect thing to do. And Father said to us on Christmas Eve, he said, let's sing Silent Night after the Mass. Because that's what it is. We bow before God in silence to be open to his grace. I don't know if you know the history of that hymn, but it was composed by a priest. Austrian priest. And the reason is because there was a confusion about what was to be played at the Mass and the music, etc. And the night before the midnight Mass, just hours before, he composed this simple melody and these words that is one of the most favorite. Of Catholics and Christians. So that's what we did. The first 3 verses of Silent Night. And it was a beautiful thing. To hear the people. To all of us singing together. Not liturgical. But after the Mass. To show our unity. Unity of faith. In the one God. In our loving Savior, in our infant King. He's our King. He's our leader. He's perfect. He's good. He's almighty. Earthly rulers are supposed to take their cue from Jesus Christ. As our Savior said to Pontius Pilate, you'd have no power if it did not come from heaven, from my Father in heaven. So that's why anyone with authority, popes, bishops, priests, government officials, military, parents, religious communities, whoever it is, their authority is a share of the authority of God that's been given to them for a time. Not to abuse, not to oppress, but to encourage, to assist, to lend a helping hand, to lift your fellow neighbor out of the quagmire. If someone is in need, you help them. They're hungry, you feed them. You teach them. But everyone knows who is good. Once you get them stabilized, you give them the faith. You teach them about God. That's what the Catholic hospitals did. The sisters in the hospitals. The Catholic nurses. Now it's forbidden. You can't do that. You cannot talk about God in there. You violate their rights. Finally, we want to say this. Our Father Superior, all the priests in our community, our seminarians, and the sisters extend our most heartfelt Christmas greetings and best wishes to each of you. Your extended family. Father last night said, and you've heard this maybe before, our connection to each other by grace, by being in a state of grace, is far more perfect and profound than being related by blood relatives. And that's why St. Joseph, he's called the foster father, his fatherhood over Jesus Christ is more perfect than a natural father over his biological son or daughter. Because he represented God the Father on earth. And the very last thing we'll say is, remember, even though we are few this morning, pray to the Blessed Virgin Mary, who became the Mother of God 9 months ago on the Feast of the Annunciation. And today she gave birth in silence, in darkness, in solitude, to the Son of God. And started, by the grace of God, the great mission that our Lord, with his Father in the Holy Ghost, to save mankind, to save the world, to save the universe from evil. That was the first coming 2,000 years ago. The victory was won on the cross, as we said, and we're just waiting day by day for the second coming, when our Lord will come in power and majesty, as it's described in the book of the Apocalypse. And at that very moment, just as a reminder, that'll be the, because it's Judgment Day, and if you're good and you love God, you'll be saved. If you hate sin and the devil, you'll be saved. But those who are workers of iniquity and follow the enemies of God, both angelic and human, it's over for them. They'll be terrified of their Savior in front of them. But we will find comfort, God willing. And then we will have that greatest joy of being in heaven. Well, there'll be the eternal liturgy. Every day will be like Christmas and Easter, because we'll see God. No more faith, because we see God. We need hope now, but there'll be no need for hope, because we will have attained our prize, our goal. But charity will last, because we'll know God, we'll see God, and we can love Him for all eternity. And this Mass, if we pray earnestly for that gift of being faithful to God as His friends, we can attain it. So God bless you. We pray for you. Continue to pray for us. And Merry Christmas. May God bless you.